Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. I'm Brian Whidden, your host, and I'm here with Angela Hoy, the founder of WritersWeekly.com and president and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service publishing company. Angie's in kind of a low mood today because she is in just 1 week, two weeks, she lost two online lovers. Heartbroken, I know.
I am. Okay. I got heartbroken, yeah.
Well, tell us about it, Angie.
Okay, I'm trying to get up the nerve.
I know.
As you all know, I like going after scammers. It's been a hobby of mine for 27 years, and recently I became a huge fan of socialcatfish.com, and they have this great YouTube channel. You watch one episode. What they do is they bring in scam victims, they explain what happened, they share all their information, and then the team determines, yeah, it's a scammer. I mean, 99% of the time, it really is a scammer. And they kind of walk the person through, okay, here's how you got scammed. And a lot of people refuse to believe that they've been scammed. So it's a great show on YouTube. But you can find the link on socialcatfish.com. Anyway, you know, I never get contacted by these people until I did.
These people meaning scammers.
These romance scammers.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was on TikTok one day and this message pops up on my screen and it's a guy named David Scott. And here's the thing about scammers, overseas scammers, is they don't understand American last names. So you'll often see them using two first American names. Now, there are real David Scotts in this country, but that's one of the first red flags that it's a foreign scammer. And he, you know, contacted me and asked if he could, you know, talk to me on WhatsApp. I said, sure. I'm like, finally. I finally get to play a scammer. So, I mean, not pretend to be a scammer. I mean, you know, go after a romance scammer.
Bring that microphone just a little closer to you. There
okay.
You go.
So, finally, one of these romance scammers from Nigeria, I'm sure he was in Nigeria, contacted me. So, I gave him my phone number, told
Angela,
him to WhatsApp.
Angela!
I gave him my phone number, and I told him I had to go to bed. It was late at night. Well, first thing the next morning, he was contacting me on WhatsApp, and within 4 hours, now I wrote about this on writersweekly.com under news from the home office. There's screenshots there. It's hilarious. You're going to love it. And within 4 hours, he was professing his undying eternal love to me and all these heart and flower emojis. I never told him I loved him. I drew the line on that because Brian was sitting right next to me most of the time while I'm talking to the guy on WhatsApp and we were laughing our butts off. I knew his name wasn't David Scott, and he said we needed to come up with nicknames for each other. You know, like mine was like Honey or something. I can't remember. And I didn't tell him we'd already come up with a nickname for him. It was Ahmed, which is the name of the suicide bomber puppet that Jeff Dunham has on his comedy shows. So Brian and I, every time we talked about him, we called him Ahmed, not David. Anyway, it only took him a few hours to start asking me for money. And again, the whole story's on writersweekly.com. He pretended to be, a celebrity or whatever. Anyway.
Wasn't this one that said he was like the
tenor
professional
or
opera
something.
Singer or something?
Yeah,
online
his name is David Scott.
From Scotland or something.
Yeah. Online is David Scott, but when he's contacting me, he says, this is my real name and I'm a famous tenor in Scotland or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was easy to, I knew right away what he was doing. And, it was like, 36 hours before we learned that he can... I told him who I was and that I've been exposing scammers for 27 years. And then, despite his horrible English skills, grammar and everything, and spelling, he knows how to spell American profanity perfectly.
His English got a lot better quick.
It did, yeah. He was pretty upset. And, again, there's screenshots on the website. And then... another one contacted me through Facebook and private messaged me out of the blue and just wanted to be my friend. And he sent me a picture. I gave him my phone number. I said, yeah, we can do this. We can go through this again. This will be fun. Hey, Brian, we got a new one. We're going to call him Mahmood. So that's what we were talking about. That's what we called him around the house while we were going back and forth with him.
We got to keep them apart, you know?
Yeah. And I was hoping I was pronouncing his name right. It is Mahmood or Mahmood. I don't know. Anyway.
It's Mahmood. Come on, get it right.
So.
You're embarrassing me.
Yeah. So, after I started talking to him on WhatsApp, I blocked him on Facebook and started sharing the information with my Facebook friends. And we were all laughing our butts off, too. So, he sends me this picture. And it's this jacked up older dude, probably in his mid-50s, maybe early 60s, gray hair. And I immediately did a reverse Google image search on it, which in my Writers Weekly article, I explained exactly how to do it. It's like a three-step process. It's super easy. And I find his picture is all over the internet on all these romance scam posts from people. I got scammed by this guy. I got scammed by this guy. So now, I'm sure this man is a real person and he's completely innocent.
Yeah.
But... His picture's been hijacked by scammers.
Yeah.
So then the next red flag, and of course I didn't say anything because I wanted to see how far this was going to go. The next red flag was he said he worked in New Orleans, Louisiana. So we talked about New Orleans. I've been there a couple times. And he said his son was in a private boarding school in Texas with his nanny. And then I'm like... You don't send your kid to boarding school with his own nanny.
Nanny never got to come with me to school.
Yeah, like you ever had a nanny. And so my game is I ask them questions. And this is if you're going to play with somebody like this, too, and it is extremely entertaining, ask them lots of questions because they will start stumbling over themselves. They'll forget what they said. They'll give you completely different information. You know, later he had a daughter, and he sent me a picture of him and his daughter. I couldn't find that picture online, but... It's same guy, but I couldn't, the reverse image search didn't work. And then this went on for like 4 or 5 days and he's sending me all these heart and flower emojis and all this BS. And he was just really boring.
Mm-hmm.
If he'd asked me for money earlier, it would have been much, much more entertaining for me. But I was just getting bored with it. I'm like, you know, I got a full-time job. I don't have time for this. So, was it yesterday? Day before yesterday. I sent the first picture he sent me, I sent it back to him and I said, hey, why is your picture all over the internet on all these scam websites that expose romance scammers? And he said, that's really me. People steal my picture because I'm so good looking. That's really me. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Send me a picture right now. Right now. Prove it. So he sent me a picture and it take. He's on WhatsApp waiting for me to respond. And, you know, I'm pretty quick on the keyboard. And so I grab that photo, save it, stick it in Google reverse image search. And remember, he said, this is me working out a couple of days ago. So I pull it up and the picture's in two places on the internet, someplace and on Facebook, and the picture's 2 years old. So I wrote to him and I said, just a few days ago, and I sent him a screenshot of what I found. I said, this picture's 2 years old. He completely ignored what I said and spent the next several hours trying to convince me he was legit, that he was the real guy. So I went to Facebook where I posted his picture and I was laughing with my friends, you know, and readers about what he was doing. And I got a screenshot of that with the comments underneath talking about what a scummy is and everything. So I sent that picture to him on WhatsApp. I said, I blocked you on Facebook right after you, you know, contacted me on WhatsApp and my friends and I have been laughing our butts off about all this. And then I came clean and told him, look, I'm a journalist. I've been exposing scammers for 27 years and you're busted. And for the next several hours, he sent me multiple messages, still professing his love and still claiming to be the same guy, the real guy. And I just never responded to him again. But what an idiot.
Well, I'm sorry neither of these turned out for
I know.
I believe at least the first one you were hoping to try to scam him out of.
I was
going to
reverse scam him. Yeah. Anyway, the whole thing is on Writers Weekly. It didn't really work out so well for me. The first one, I told them my husband had died and left me a large insurance policy, and I didn't know what to do with the money. The second one, I told him my husband had just left me. So, but in both cases, my husband was sitting right next to me while I'm writing to this guy, and we're laughing.
I didn't leave her.
Yeah.
Are you going to be okay?
I'm going to be fine. All right. I got my knight in shining armor right here.
All right. Well, getting deep. let's get on to the meat and potatoes here of the of this episode. This is, 21, right?
Number 21.
Episode 21. All right. And as we promised, we are talking to an actual scam victim. Who came to Book Locker after she found out she was being scammed, and she has agreed to come on with us and talk about her story in her own words. Her name is Jennifer Westacott. She has republished a book with us called Heartbreak Falls. And well, we're just gonna get right into it. Jennifer, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic today.
Awesome. How are things up there in Canada?
We're actually having a really warm summer today.
That's weird.
Funny, because we're actually having a very cool summer today.
Yeah, it's probably, 69, 70 degrees down here?
Yeah,
we've been wearing a sweater all day.
We've had a cold front come through, so as you can see, I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
Yeah, and you're like 1,000 miles north of us.
Because it's nice. Yeah. It's nice and cool today, yeah. Yeah, I had to have a blanket on last night. It was, and it's August.
Yeah, it's August. I want to say how... happy I am that Jennifer is coming on to share her story. It takes a lot of courage to do that. A lot of people won't even contact law enforcement when they've been scammed, but Jennifer has seen all the stories online and she knows how these scammers just, you know, play you over, and she wants to protect other authors from getting scammed as well. So we are so pleased to have you on today.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think it's important that more people be willing to come forward and talk about this stuff, because we're never going to, as we've figured out already, we're never going to stop these people from creating new websites and new scams and new ideas. You know, the only real way we're going to be able to combat this is people understanding what to look for. And to know how to go with their gut. As soon as you think something doesn't seem quite right, it's time to just shut that down.
Yeah.
And find a reputable company to do whatever you're looking to do. It's not just publishing, it's all out there. Mm-hmm. These people are just taking advantage of everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy, but I know that they're succeeding because so many people, once they realize their money's gone and they're not getting it back, they just kind of clam up, they go away. They might come on to an online forum and post anonymously or something like that. I'll talk a little bit about what I found on Better Business Bureau, but again, you're anonymous on there for the most part.
True.
And, you know, this is the way to combat it is people coming out and saying, this is what happened to me. This is how it happened. This is what you should be looking out for.
Right.
So yeah, definitely. Thanks for coming on with us and talking about your experience.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Let's start with 2011, when you first had a book published.
Well, back in 2011, originally, it started with just sitting down and I just started writing just for the fun of it. I was just writing to just kill time after I put my children to bed. I was killing time. I wasn't writing to write a book. It was just to kill time. And the next thing I knew, I had over 300 pages. I'm like, wow, how did I manage to do this?
Wow.
Like, what happened?
Fun.
It was just something to pass the time, and it was just supposed to be like a little short story just to pass the time.
Mm-hmm. To entertain yourself, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I've always enjoyed writing. I had teachers all through high school that had always encouraged my writing, whether it was short stories or poetry. They'd always encouraged me to one-up myself.
You know, you hear from a lot of writers that it was like primarily in high school, they had one teacher who encouraged them to go forward. And that's actually very common. God bless the teachers. Yeah. I had a similar teacher. Yeah.
And then lo and behold, I got searching online and I was like, well, since I've got 300 pages, I've got a full book here. I'm going to see if I can get this thing published. And I talked to my parents about it. I'm like, hey, I've got like 300 pages here. I'm going to see if I can get my book published. And my dad, he's like, oh, you'll never do nothing with it. You'll never do nothing with it. You'll never get it published. You'll never get it published. I'm like,
Contrary to the teachers in your life.
I'm like, okay, Dad, I love you, but I'm gonna try this. He's like, yep, nope. He was always a negative Nancy, but he did it from a kind spot. He never wanted us
He's
to
trying
get
to
our
soften the
hopes.
blow for you when you didn't get it published.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
never wanted us to get our hopes too high. He just wanted us to have normal expectations for ourselves.
Yeah.
There's also the
Yeah.
parents who tell you that knowing that it's probably going to spur you to get it done.
Well, that could be too.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 So I started searching places online and I found this company called Exlibris. So I was searched them and I was like, okay, I'll go with these guys. They seem okay. And it first that everything seemed all right. I found that it seemed all right at first. It cost me $3,000 US to have what they said was editing done, to find out no editing was ever done to the book. The cover that
Wow.
was on it at first was just a clip art that they used that they'd found online. So it wasn't even actual cover art like what
Like
I've got
illustration or
now.
photographed. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was just a clip art that they'd found.
Yeah.
And it disheartened me then, but at the same time, I got the book at first, and August of 2011, I had it in my hand and I showed my dad, and he's like, oh, my baby girl actually did it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, yes, see, I've got the copy now, Dad. And
Yeah.
then he started getting sick, and he started getting sick with diabetes in 2006, actually. He started with minor amputations on his feet and everything.
Oh,
And
no.
May of 2012, Mother's Day weekend, we actually lost him. So he actually got to see it published before he passed away.
That's awesome.
So at least, even though going through that experience was rough and finding out that Exlibris didn't do any work like I thought they were going to, he actually got to see this book published before
That's
he passed
wonderful.
away.
That's wonderful. Ex Libris is owned by Author Solutions, which also owns Author House, iUniverse, Trafford, and several other companies. They have been sued twice in the past class action. They settled both lawsuits. They are located in the United States, and they have published thousands and thousands of books. Aside from the 3,000, how much did you pay them total for to get your book published? Do you remember?
Just 3,000
Oh, okay.
because
Okay.
I stopped paying.
Oh, yeah. They and back in 2011, 3,000, that was a hefty sum. Yeah.
Yeah, it was because at that time I wasn't working. I was off work on short-term disability due to seizures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because when Dad got sick, I started having multiple seizures. I was having 6 to 10 seizures in a day, so I
Oh,
wasn't
that's
able to work.
bad.
Yeah, you were telling us about this last week, and you are currently out of work. And before we get into the rest of it, tell everybody what you do for a living, because this chick is cool, man. She's awesome.
I actually work at in a coal mine. I drive a 793F Caterpillar haul truck. I drive a 400-ton haul truck.
That's one of those big, gigantic, huge dump trucks that it's like you have to climb a ladder to get up into this little
Yes,
cabin
it's
thing, and
like
this thing has
driving
wheels bigger
a,
than people. Yeah.
yeah, it's
Wow.
like driving a two-story house.
Because I want to drive one of those because it's so
Yep.
cool.
Well, you go visit Jennifer and you can. You go, girl. That's awesome. That's like the coolest job I've
I
ever.
see heavy machinery.
Our
It sounds like
actual
trouble.
biggest truck on site is the 830E
What?
Komatsu. Angie's head is spinning over here.
Yeah,
You
the
sounds really
830E
big.
Komatsu, it has an actual electric drive system. It's got generators on it that produce electricity into the drive system.
To make it go. My head is spinning.
I worked for a time in a Central Florida town. I was a cop there, but they had phosphate mines all over the place, and I got to see these big drag line machines that are it's like a huge house with a crane arm sticking out of it, and this thing can scoop up tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of this stuff at one time. They're incredible.
We've got huge shovels on our sites as well. We've got the biggest one we have is the 7,000 Komatsu. It is just massive,
Yeah,
this
to
thing.
see these things, it's like, how do they even build something like this?
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
it's
just still
incredible.
picturing Jennifer driving those things. I'm jealous.
Yeah,
I'm not the
that is
smallest
really
one on
cool.
site that drives these things.
That is cool. Well, now to be fair, Ex Libris is a quote unquote legit company. I think they just have a real bad work ethic. Angie, chime in if you want, but they're not they're I don't think they're going out of the way to try to take people's money and not and disappear.
Yeah.
I mean, they're established. Their
We
name is in.
actually will publish your book.
Yeah.
However, I always advise all authors to avoid any company owned by Author Solutions because if you go online and search for Author Solutions complaints, Ex Libris complaints, Universe complaints, Author House complaints, Traffic complaints, and again, they own many companies, they have many websites. You will be blown away by how many complaints there are about that company. They have not made a lot of authors very happy.
I mean, they definitely have a horrible reputation, but again, I think it's just because they have a very I think they just have poor work ethic, poor they're take cutting a lot of corners and not delivering as opposed to
Just poor customer service. That's what it all
as
comes down
opposed
to.
to
It is.
deliberately trying to scam people.
Yeah,
So,
and a lot of the companies charge way too much
well,
to
yeah.
publish a book. I mean,
Oh
some
my
of their
God, yes.
packages,
Yeah, 3,000's too much to have to.
well, and some of their packages are 10,000 or more. They market that book insurance returns. They'll be happy to sell you an ad in the New York Times. But last I looked at this several years ago, the one I saw was the middle. It's a whole full page ad on in the New York Times. The middle of the page is an ad for their company, the publishing company. And then around that ad was all these little bitty book covers with the titles of the books. So that's what you were paying for. You were thinking, oh, I'm gonna, have this really nice ad, and you gotta get out your magnifying glass to see the books on the page. So
Okay, so
anyway.
let's fast forward to when you started receiving some emails from another publisher, quote unquote.
Back
In what year?
in May of 2023,
Okay.
I started receiving emails from a company known as Brilliant Book Literary, the person that was
It's
from this
Brilliant
company.
Books Literary, right?
Brilliant Books Literary,
Yeah, okay.
and they also have a second company that they go by.
Yep. They also went by Leap Right later on before I stopped paying. For 2 weeks, I completely ignored them because it was coming into my spam. I was like, nope, I'm not answering it. That's in my spam folder. I'm not answering it.
And how did they find you? Do you know?
They said they found me on Amazon. I'm like, Amazon? How are you finding me on Amazon? And I went, okay, I'm going to search Amazon to see if my book is still available on Amazon. And sure, lo and behold, the old book was still on Amazon, but it didn't say that there was any available.
Right. I can explain how that works. Amazon keeps old book listings on their website because, one, it's my understanding that to remove those from their system can disrupt their customers' purchase histories. Two, they allow people and companies to sell used copies of books on their website. Mm-hmm. So that's why you'll find books that have been out of print for years and years that are still on Amazon. I can also explain that these scammers and even legitimate companies, they go on Amazon, they find books, they Google the name of the author, they find the author's contact information. If I Google your name and your city, I can find your phone number.
Yeah.
And that's and your email address. And that's how they find their marks.
Yeah.
Right? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead. So they started emailing you, going to your spam folder.
It was going to spam and I didn't respond or anything. I was like, no, it's in spam. I'm not responding. And I went to a friend's place and I was telling him about it. And he looked at me one day. He goes, you know, he goes, I know how much you like writing. He goes, it's your dream to be an author, just to get away from the everyday grind of having to get up every day and go to work. You just want to write and just be out there. He goes, go for it. It's what you want to do. I'm like, but it doesn't sit right with me. Something feels off about all this.
What was your first red flag?
Let me ask this real quick. So you already had your book published and it was still on Amazon, but was there a point at which you believed that you were no longer associated with Ex Libris because you paid them their $3,000 to publish your book and they published your book? Was there supposedly an understanding that you were to continue to pay them, or did you just had you just not looked at it in a long time and just didn't think your book was out there any longer? Or
I hadn't paid for any other services. I hadn't talked to them. They hadn't reached out to me.
You weren't getting any royalties.
I wasn't getting any royalties or anything. So
it was just basically an assumption on your part that your book was no longer actually active out there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine.
Ex Libris and the Author Solutions companies, their contract as of right now is non-exclusive like BookLockers is.
Mm-hmm.
Those authors can go out and, you know, move their book somewhere else, like to BookLocker.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that shows, so nothing, no legal issues with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, those companies, they own all rights to the production files of those books and they mm-hmm. won't give them to authors. They used to sell them to authors. It's my understanding they won't even give them to authors anymore. So if Jennifer did want to republish her book, she would have to pay another company to do a new cover.
Start all over again.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Leap Right Brilliant Books is reaching out to you. Okay. So you felt that something wasn't quite right, but your friend was pushing you to do this.
Yeah. He was encouraging me, being supportive that, to go for my dream. And I told him, I said, something's not sitting right with me. This doesn't feel right. He's like, just email them. What can it hurt just to email to get information from them? Then I emailed them, and I talked to this woman and I got information that it was going to be $4,000 for their initial publishing package, that it was editing and formatting and so on and so forth. I was like, okay, this doesn't sound so bad. I'm like, well, what does your editing package include? What is your formatting? What is all of this? And she's like, oh, all of that's all included. We do all the editing. And I'm like, what is your editing? She told me that all of the editing, that I work with a whole team, that I have one person that works with me from editing, one from formatting. I'm like, okay, so there's a whole team that helps me with this whole process. She's like, oh, yes, there's a team that helps you. You don't do mm-hmm. it alone. So
hey, Jennifer, if I can jump in real quick here, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about this person you're talking to.
This was Kirsten Baker, right?
Yes, Kirsten
and
Baker.
And we're pretty sure that's not her real name.
Yeah,
name is pretty sure. Okay. And she had a real strong Filipino accent.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, she did have a strong Filipino. She had a strong accent. Okay.
Okay, a lot of the scammers are in the Philippines, Nigeria, Pakistan, and India.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as they were explaining these services and their pitches and all that, did it sound like they really knew what they were talking about?
It sounded like she knew what she was talking about at the time.
Okay. And I just wanted to check because I actually have some things from other complaints that I want to compare to what you experienced. Then we'll talk about those in a little while. Okay. So what would part of their pitch was started kind of enticing you from going from one publisher to another publisher? What was it that you thought you could get a better deal over here than you did with XP Libris?
What really enticed me was that just the way that she sounded so professional, and that there was going to be a whole team there to help support me through the whole process of everything, that I wasn't going to be on my own to do this, and
Okay.
that it was only going to be the $4,000 and nothing else.
Okay. Now,
so she never said anything about that there's going to be any more money down the line, that it was
of
just going
course
to be
not.
that initial $4,000. So
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Turned out to be a lot more than that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, she had contacted me when I was still kind of half asleep because I'd just come off a night shift.
Okay.
Oh.
Now, $4,000 US. I did all these conversions today using, you know, Google and a conversion program. So this is in today's dollars, but this was happening to you in 2023, so not too long ago. But $4,000 US is basically $5,500 Canadian, give or take. I rounded the numbers.
Yeah.
And they're telling you this is to republish your book, a new cover, editing, formatting. We have a big team. They're going to help you, and we're going to hold your hand the whole way. Okay.
Yep.
So
exactly.
go on from there.
From there, then the first thing that they did was do the whole redesign of the cover.
Oh, wait a second. How did you pay them? With a credit card or
that's
bank
right.
transfer?
I paid them through e-transfer, basically. So it was through my debit card. So it's
Okay.
like kind of like a credit card, but not
And,
really.
And you had told them up front that you couldn't pay that full amount right
Yep,
out
I
up
said that I
front.
can't do it up front. I said it's got to be payments because I have other bills and other obligations.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. We can do payments. Not a big deal.
Okay.
Also, if you use a debit card, you can't get your money back, unlike when you use a credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So we started with the new cover, and we got the new cover design done. Whenever it came out, I was happy with what they'd done. It looked a lot better than the original that Ex Libris had done. So then they said, okay, well, now we need editing. And I was like, okay. And they sent me this paperwork. And I'm like, well, what's this? They're like, well, this is for you to do editing. I'm like, for me to do editing? I'm like, well, you guys are the professionals. How am I supposed to do editing? What do I do? Oh, well, you go in and you do these changes and these changes. I'm like, no, you're the editing. You guys are the publishing company. You know how to do editing. I don't.
So
I
this
don't
is
know
their
the first.
idea of our team's going to help you. Is we're going to send you instructions
on how to be an editor,
on how to edit.
Yeah. They're just going to send me paperwork on what changes to make. This is what would sound better. So this is where you should change it, and this is what you need to change. I was completely confused. It took me 3.5-4 weeks to go through the entire book to change what they wanted done. And
I
even
think I
at
know what
that,
they
they
did.
kept bothering me
Yeah.
while I was
They
trying
had
to
to
sleep
draw it
all
out so she'd keep sending payments.
No, I think they probably put her manuscript through a program like Grammarly and got a printout of suggestions.
Okay.
And just sent that to her. No human actually went through the manuscript. There's just no way. If a human did, the human would be making the changes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a revelation. That's something we didn't talk about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and when it come to formatting, I was like, okay, so formatting, what do you want me to do with formatting? They're like, well, I was just in shock. I said, I don't know anything about formatting. What do I do about formatting? They're like, oh, well, this is how it gets done. I'm like, I've never done it before. What do you expect me to do?
Can't
And
believe they did that.
it just blew me away. I'm like, you guys realize I'm trying to sleep. You're calling me when I'm trying to sleep. I am on night shift trying to sleep. Oh, well, it's such and such time. I'm like, yeah, I just got off work trying to sleep.
Yeah,
I
but it's
have
different
to.
time in the Philippines.
Yeah, exactly. And they just did not get it.
Now, for the formatting, did they send you printout instructions on how to, or email you instructions on how to format a book, which they probably just ripped off the internet as well? Wow.
They
Jeez.
sent me instructions on how to do that as well. And I was just blown away.
At any point did you ask them why they aren't going to do the editing and formatting, and
I
did what
did.
ex
I
what
was just like,
explanation did they give you?
oh, this is just our process.
Well,
Well,
yeah, easy
this is
enough.
how we do it. We get you to do this part, and then our team works with what you've done.
Oh man. Oh, good
I
Lord.
was just like, okay, all
Yeah.
right. This
Oh
is
man.
it blew me away, to say the least.
Oh, were we going to talk about this later? The size of, because they designed the cover and she was happy with it.
We're going to get
Oh,
there.
okay, we'll
Yeah.
get to that in a little bit. Okay, go
So,
ahead, Brad.
you get through the editing and the formatting process. So what happens next?
What happened next was everything was going fine, and then she contacted me again that they wanted to do a book trailer. I was like, what the heck? What is a book trailer? She goes, oh, it's a little video about your book that we put up on a big billboard in New York Times Square that shows what your book is about.
Okay, now
I
let
was
me
like,
stop you
what?
there, because at this point, did you have a cover?
I did have a cover.
Okay, so let's put the book trailer on the back burner and talk about the cover that they designed a cover for you. Okay, so tell me about that.
The cover that they designed, it looks like at the time, it looked fantastic. You got a man and a woman holding each other in a passionate grasp under the waterfall, like I had
A beautiful
explained to them.
waterfall. Yeah.
It just
Their
looked
font was
great.
really pretty. Their title and all that. When they sent you the file to show you this is your cover, was there a front and a back to it, or was it just the front?
There was the front, the back,
And the
everything looked
spine,
great.
and the
Everything.
spine and everything. Okay.
Okay.
So they did send that. Okay. So they did send you this image. They said, here's your cover. So this is where I'm going to explain some things, because I design covers, and when you looked at this image, on your computer screen, it does look great. It looks phenomenal on your computer screen. And what I had been hoping to do when you came on board with BookLocker and I was assigned to work on your cover, I was hoping to simply take the cover that they designed and blow it up, put it on a proper template. I believe you were getting 5.5 by 8.5, or was it 6 by 9? 5.5 by 8.5. I remember that part. And but then when you actually sent me the image and I put it into my Photoshop, I realized that the full size of that image itself was 1 basically 1.5 inches by 2 inches.
That's a
And
pretty small book.
it was 72 DPI, which is dots per inch, which is a resolution amount. Okay. And to create a cover, we have to have any images sent to us have to be at least 300 DPI. Otherwise, it won't print properly. It'll look fine on a screen, but when you start printing it, it'll look
crappy. And
because when you try to blow up the size to the correct size, it's going to be extremely pixelated.
Well, that's where the one 1.5 by 2 inches comes in. Is when once you start blowing that up, it all just becomes pixelated.
Even turns if, like into peanut butter and jelly.
Even if I had a full 5.5 by 8.5 image, but it was only 72 DPI, it would still print very poorly because it doesn't have all of those extra pixels placed in there for the color.
Right. It'd be extremely pixelated. Not only that, but the printer would reject the file.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it has to be 300 DPI.
If we were to try to turn that over our printer, they would have rejected it. But this is, I'm trying to explain, this is the quality of cover that they created for her.
That they sent to her.
They sent to her.
That she would never be able to use elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And
yeah.
Trust me, they do that on purpose.
Able to use that now.
Clearly, even though you paid for it.
Because you did get a book. So clearly they had a file in their computer, wherever that was, Philippines, that was ready for printing. But what they gave you was not of any quality that you could share and then redo your book with anybody. I just want to clarify that right there.
That's it. So, it's called a production file, which I discussed earlier. And they do that on purpose so that you can't move your book elsewhere someday.
Now, when we complete somebody's cover and we share it with them to show them, we create a PDF file of front, back, spine, everything in 300 DPI, full size, and we email that to them. And they could, if they wanted to, actually use that file.
And at booklocker.com, our authors own their production files.
Yeah.
Our philosophy is you paid for it, you own it.
Yeah.
And if they want to have it printed elsewhere, if they need copies of it to, you know, print bookmarks or whatever somewhere, we don't print bookmarks, but, you know, a lot of the scammers will say, oh, yeah, we'll do some bookmarks for you. You never get any bookmarks. But we give those files to our authors at no extra charge and because they own it.
So, okay, so on with our story. So you finished your own formatting, your own editing, and you got this cover that really couldn't, you know, you couldn't do anything with that. But clearly they did later. But so, now they're upselling you for this book trailer.
Yes. And I was, at the time I was, couldn't afford it whenever they were trying to upsell me for it. Cause it was right around Christmas time. I was like, look, it's Christmas time. I can't afford it right now.
Oh yeah, sure.
I was just like, it's not happening. It's Christmas. Oh, well, you could really use it. It'll get your Christmas sales up, especially in Times Square. Millions of people see it. I'm like, no, I can't do it.
And this was going to be $4,000, right?
$4,000
for the book trailer?
$4,000 for the book trailer.
Yep. So we're up to $8,000 now. Yeah. Okay.
Now, just to clarify, they're promising you a book trailer in the middle of Times Square. Where are you located?
I am in British Columbia, Canada.
You're on the far west end of Canada. Okay.
You would have never seen that flash up in the New York Times.
Nobody in your area in Canada cares what's going on Times Square in the middle of New York City at any given point.
One scammer promised to put an author's book at a book fair, a big book fair. And then she kept at, well, send me a picture and prove that you did it, because she paid thousands of dollars for her one book to appear at this book fair. And she sent me the picture they sent to her. It was so grossly photoshopped. Her book was like four times bigger than all the other books. They just took a bookshelf and stuck the front cover of her book. It was awful. Just awful. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. So tell me about this book trailer that appeared in Times Square.
And then we got through Christmas, and then I started planning a small little book signing in my own community. It was in February, right around Valentine's Day. That way, because it's a romance novel, it's like, and then I figured, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'll get this book trailer. It'll go on YouTube. It'll go on in Times Square. I'll bite the bullet. I finally bit the bullet and they sent me this video. I saw it up on YouTube. It aired on YouTube for, I think it was 3 months it was on YouTube. And then it was supposed to be 48 hours on a loop in Times Square. I had it playing during my book signing that I had going. I had up the my tablet up so that everybody could see the this great big freaking video playing in Times Square. I was so excited about this.
Now,
And
did you actually have a video of your book trailer playing in Times Square?
I had what I thought was the video of my book trailer playing in Times Square. And then right at the end of it was the ad of Leap Right and everything of my publisher for my book and where it could be bought, like book Barnes and Noble and Amazon and everything like that. So I was so happy that everything like this was finally coming together. And then I was starting to get plans together with the local bookstore because that their book signing kind of fell apart because not a lot of people showed up because we happened to have a huge snowstorm the previous night.
Oh, man.
So not a lot of people could get out to it. It kind of fell apart, so I was planning another one with the local bookstore. Kirsten calls again, upselling me on a interview with Rick Bratton from This Week in America. And I found that odd that I'd have to pay $4,000 to be interviewed by somebody about my book.
Every single thing is 4,000.
Everything was
$4,000 up front,
Now,
4,000 for the book trailer, 4,000 for an interview. That's really interesting.
Rick Bratton is a real person. He
Yes.
has a podcast called This Week in America, where he features selected books. He has about 100 episodes to his podcast. He's got a 4.7 rating on Apple. So this is a real person, but again, they got you thinking you were going to somehow wind up on his show.
Yeah. And that I'd have to pay $4,000 to be interviewed by him, which I thought was kind of odd to be interviewed by somebody about my book. So I started
Yeah, that's
paying.
actually a common
Just
scam.
full disclosure, we did not charge Jennifer a penny to come on to the Writers Weekly podcast, just so you
So
know.
I had started paying for that interview. I'd paid about around $3,000 US or $300 US to that in for that interview. And then I got a random email from one of the employees at the bookstore that I was starting to set up for the next book signing at, and was informed that I was being scammed by Brilliant Books Literary, which totally devastated me because I had put out so much money already into my dream of being an author.
Okay, tell us about how you got notified that you were being scammed.
I had woke up from my sleep because I was on night shift and I was getting ready for work, and I always check my emails because I get random emails from everybody and check from emails from employers and everything. And I looked at my email and oh, I've got one from
Kit Boga.
Kit Boga. Well, not really Kit Boga, but
Well, you got
the bookstore in town, and they're
Oh,
telling
wait
me
a
that
minute.
somebody from
The email came from the bookstore?
yeah, the email
I'm sorry. Okay.
came
All
from an
right.
employee at the bookstore saying that somebody wanted to contact me about my book, and it had their information in it, Sam at from Kit Boga. I'm like,
Okay,
okay. So
for
I
those
called
real
this
quick, for those
person.
who don't know, Kit Boga is a guy. Now, I don't know who Sam was. I am assuming it was probably one of his team. Kit Boga is a guy who has a big YouTube channel, and he's also created software that prevents scammers from contacting you on your devices. He actually does YouTube videos where he contacts scammers and he kind of sets them up and wastes a bunch of their time. Apparently, I think he's kind of reversed scammed a few and actually taken money away from them, things like that. He's got 3.7 million subscribers on his YouTube channel, and his episodes get anywhere from 500,000 views to 1.7 million views. So Kit Boga is a legitimate person, and they were actually reaching out to you to try to tell you, hey, you're getting scammed. So they definitely, I would trust when they say that because they clearly know what scammers are. They've been doing this for many years. Go ahead.
And they reached out to me. They reached out to the bookstore about me. To this day, I still don't know how they found out about me personally, but they contacted the bookstore where I had one of my books located, and the bookstore contacted me locally. So I reached out to the person in the email. I called Sam because it had her name and phone number. Mm-hmm. I called her and she's like, wow. She goes, I was not expecting to hear from you so fast. I'm like, well, you wanted me to call you. So you wanted to hear about my book. So this is why I'm calling. What can I help you with? She's like, I just wanted to let you know you're being scammed. And I just went, what? I said, what do you mean I'm being scammed? She goes, Brilliant Books Literary is a scam company. She goes, they are not a legitimate company. You have been being scammed for the last year. I'm like, are you serious? She's like, yes. She goes, they're out of the Philippines. They are not legitimate. I'm like, oh my God. I said, I am legitimately going to be sick right now. I said, I have to work tonight. I said, and I do not feel well now.
Yeah.
So at that point, what did you do?
I talked to Sam for probably an hour after, like once I called her, I talked to her for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked at that point, she told me, she goes, do not talk to them anymore. Do not send them any more money. Block them. I'm like, okay. She goes, has anybody else contacted you lately? And I told her, I said, well, yeah, I said this other company just recently cold emailed me. And she goes, and she said, well, what company? So I gave it to her and she quickly typed it into her database. She goes, scam. She goes, block them. So I blocked. She goes, do not contact them. She goes, just stop contact with everybody that has contacted you. She goes, and block them all.
Yeah.
She goes, go into the RCMP, report it. She goes, do whatever you can. Go to your banks, report this. She goes, do what you can. She goes, if you've used credit cards, whatever you've done, she goes, get all your information changed immediately.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, because they're going to do whatever they can just to keep yanking money away from you.
Right.
Hook or crook.
And I did everything that she asked me to do to stop them from taking any more money from me.
Now, at that point,
unfortunately, when I went to the local RCMP when I got home from work, I reported it to my local RCMP. And because they were located in the Philippines, there is nothing that my local RCMP could do because it's out of their jurisdiction. They were overseas.
For our U.S. listeners,
RCMP is Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And I believe that is a police department. Federal agency for you guys, right? They are Canada wide. They're not just British Columbia or whatever. They're all of Canada. They're like RFBI.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they told you there's nothing we can do because they're overseas and we can't touch them.
Yeah.
At that point, how much were you in for?
Approximately $20,000 Canadian total.
It's $15,000 US approximate.
Yeah. Did you ever pay for the whole Rick Bratton interview or just part of it and before you found out it was a scam?
Just part of it by the time I found out it was a scam.
I got some news for you. Rick Bratton was convicted of theft in 2003, He collected money for an auto dealership promising to run ads for them, and he never paid for the ads, and he kept the money, and he was convicted.
Oh my God.
He was on a different show back then, and they took him off that show, but now he's out of jail and back in business.
Yeah, because he's reviewing books on a podcast.
Uh-huh, okay. Right.
Now, there was, from what you told us, there was a book for people to buy. They did produce a book for you.
Yes, they
In
did.
Fact, you even got sent quote-unquote royalty checks, or a royalty check. Am I correct? One. Tell us about that royalty check.
I got one royalty check after they told me, oh, we got royalty check for you. It's on its way. I waited for 3 months for it to come. Never came.
Jeez.
Like, where is it? I'm waiting for it. It should be here. Like, the next quarter's coming up. Where's my royalty
Next
check?
Quarter's coming up.
Oh, it should be there any day now. I'm like, get it here now. And I started getting irate with them. And finally, it showed up, and it was a personal size check from a Western Union bank.
Let me clarify: a personal size check or a personal check?
Personal check.
Personal check.
Okay, yeah.
What name was on that check?
They had Brilliant Books Literary at the top.
Okay.
And then the bank was, I believe it was Western Union on it.
Okay.
And normally I'm used to seeing somebody, whenever they sign a check, they sign it with their actual name.
A human being's
or
signature,
even some a company is a human signature. No, they signed it Brilliant Books Literary.
And the check
My
worked?
Bank,
you deposited it and worked?
My bank actually cashed
I'm
it that
surprised
way,
your
which
book.
Wow.
shocked me.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Now, Angela, what's going on there where they're actually willing to send her a $200 check?
Jennifer, they would consider you a whale. You sent them $4,000, you sent them another $4,000, you sent them another $4,000. If they sent, how much was the check for?
$200.
Okay. Even?
Even.
Oh, man. Royalty checks are not a round
number. I
don't
think I've ever seen a $200.
No,
it
was
like
$221.43 or something. Yeah, they did that in the hopes that she would turn around and send them more money for another service.
Yeah, to keep getting more money from
you.
Oh, look, I've got royalties, a whole $200. If I pay them more money, I'll get more royalties. Yeah.
And most of these scammers, they will never actually produce a book because either the authors run out of money a lot faster than you did, or the authors realize, uh-oh, something's not right, and they start asking a lot of questions, and then the scammers are like, uh-oh, they're onto us, and they just disappear.
Yeah.
But because you had
These
sent them so much money,
out.
They were willing to send you $200, Western Union.
Yeah.
And they probably had some kind of agent in the United States that went to a Western Union and bought that check.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. And a lot of these do have registered agents in the U.S., which
was it a check or
lawyers.
Was it a money order? I mean, was it? Could you actually identify that it was a check? Because Western Union, I don't think is a bank. I
no,
think
it's
they're
actually
they're
money
they're,
transfer
they're
service.
A money transfer service.
Yeah, it was
so
probably a
that
money order
like
that
just
looked
a money
like a
order.
check. Yeah,
Wow.
yeah.
So yeah, I mean they came to they came to the conclusion that okay, if we go ahead and throw some files at Amazon KDP and get them up there,
we can keep
which
reeling in
doesn't
more
cost
money.
them anything.
More money.
We'll just keep getting more money from her with all these promises of all these marketing services.
I also hate to tell you this, Jennifer, but these scammers sell victims' names and contact information and share it with each other online. So you are going to get more and more phone calls and emails because they think, if somebody tricked her, then we can trick her too. Of course, we know that's not going to happen with you.
All right. What I want to, what I want to do at this point, I went through and looked up Leap Right and Brilliant Books Literary, both on the Better Business Bureau.
And they're both the same company.
And they are the same company. They just named themselves something different. Mm-hmm. And I just want to go over some things, and you're going to see some similarities from what you heard. And then I want to go back to asking you some questions about your experience. So for LeapRight, there are 6 complaints on Better Business Bureau. They all have a 1-star rating. So they are a 1-star company on Better Business Bureau, even though they are not... they are not signed up with Better Business Bureau. They're not a member.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
But Better Business Bureau will print complaints of companies, even if they haven't signed up.
Sure.
Now, interestingly enough, somebody said that the people on the phone do not have accents that would tip you off. So I thought that was interesting with LeapRight.
Kirsten had a strong accent.
Filipino accent, which many may, but apparently they actually have people that speak good, you know, speak English well and can convince you that they're an American. Have their sales pitch down to a science filled with industry jargon, promise massive profits if author lets them publish and promote their book. And that's what you went through. They had their rap down.
Yeah.
One author was enticed because of the promise to be published by a, quote, traditional publisher.
Yeah, how that scam works is they say, pay us to do all this work for your book, and we're going to get you a traditional contract. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And somebody else mentioned that they found a bunch of money charged on their credit or debit cards without their authorization. So they actually got in there and just used their card number and got money out of them.
Yeah.
Brilliant Books Literacy. Oh, there was one other for LeapRight, and I forgot to write it down, but I do remember it because I believe I'm going to try to reach out to this author because she named her 2 books in this complaint, and I was able to track that author down. And she mentioned... I mean, it was a lot of very emotional stuff. You know, you're a scumbag. Shame on you. Shame on you. And at one point she said, and changing your name doesn't fix anything. In other words, so she was apparently being scammed at the point where they flip-flopped the name. You know, they went from Brilliant Books to LeapRight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she caught the name change on there and realized it was, you know.
If you go on Facebook and you click on one of these, you know, scammers' profiles, and then you click on the transparency button, you can often see how many times they've changed their name.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are 4, 5, 6, 10 times. Because... Yeah. Once there's so many complaints about them online, they're like, oh, better call ourselves something else now. And then later when there's more complaints, change your name again. Yeah.
Brilliant Books Literary. These are, again, Better Business complaint. Don't pay royalties that are owed. Books go online, but the author never receives royalties or stops receiving their royalties. So again, there's that pattern of them actually creating a book. The author sees that book, but they never get any money for it.
Yeah. Unless they know again, they can get more money out of that author later. Yeah. Right.
Promise of a book trailer, and then they got ghosted after paying for it. Return insurance policy scam.
Would you like me to explain what
Please
that is?
Please explain the return insurance policy.
Okay. Bookstores, most of them, if they buy books, they want to be able to return those books to the publisher or the distributor. More and more publishers are not allowing book returns because I've actually written about this on writersweekly.com. That's an old World War II thing where to keep bookstores in business, they would be able to return books to publishers. Mm. Well, they now have this, it's totally worthless. And I have to tell you that even like author solutions companies offer something similar, or they used to. You pay us $400 a year, we'll make your book returnable, and then more copies will sell.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, think about it. From a logical perspective, if a publisher is so certain that making a book returnable is going to sell an impressively higher number of copies, they wouldn't charge the author anything for that.
Yeah.
They know that this particular author isn't going to sell enough books at all, and so they're charging you for this, you know, fake return insurance. Sure. And
basically that's supposed to, I guess, to cover your losses if a bookstore orders a bunch of your books, doesn't sell them, turns around, because you're going to get royalties from the publisher, from the bookstore buying those books, and then if they return them, you get dinged on those royalties.
Right.
Am I
so
correct?
that insurance would supposedly stop you from getting dinged.
Yeah.
However, you're going to spend more on that insurance than you're going to earn on royalties. And for a lot of these scammers, it's just a fake thing they put up there. They're not going to accept returns from bookstores, even if they may not even, many of these authors may not even get their books on the market. Mm-hmm. It's just one more thing that they found to get more money out of authors. And it's a total scam. No author
Just
should
like their
ever
book
buy.
trailers.
What?
Just like their book trailers, they superimpose them on the
Right. Yeah.
billboards in Times Square.
Yeah.
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 Another person said they were suckered in by promises of their book being in bookstores. And clearly this is just a case of an author not understanding that if you simply go with a publisher that goes with a large distributor like we do, any bookstore that wants your book can get those books.
Right.
There is we're going to get your book into bookstores. Well, any bookstore that wants it can get it.
Right. But there's also the scam where they tell authors, and I'm not talking about these two companies in particular, or this company in particular. They say, pay us $6,000. We're going to print 3,000 copies of your book and send it to a variety of bookstores, except no books ever get printed.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
very common in the scam industry now, publishing scam industry.
And most of these complaints were fairly recent, but here's one from 2023. Told author they could create a manuscript from an audiobook, and once they paid that fee, they said that they couldn't do it and then just shut off communication.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they said they could take an audiobook, which would mean somebody would have to sit with that audiobook and type out the manuscript. And they said, oh, we can't do it on this one. And then they told them that's not our problem and we're not going to refund
Took the
you.
Money and run. Yep.
2024, I paid the money in good faith. Now, there are things I highlighted here. A lot of money figured. The minute I stopped giving them money, they stopped all communication regarding royalties, which I had been receiving. They gave them six, they paid this company, again, this is Brilliant Books Literary, paid them $16,000 over a year's period
to promote the book,
to promote their book.
Mm-hmm.
This person also received checks for royalties in the form of a personal check. And, let's see, and there was no invoice on the book sales. They kept asking and asking and couldn't get the book sale information.
Literally had to beg for it.
For it. And then the minute I stopped giving them money, as I was getting suspicious, they stopped all communication. Mm-hmm. A lot of similar things.
And they realized the person got too suspicious.
Yep.
Wasn't going to send them another dime, and then
just shut them up. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Right.
But and what they did in contrast, what they did with you is they threw a few carrots in your way, to say, see, look, you're getting royalties, and then you kept paying them.
Did you ever get a picture of the superimposed image on Times Square? Do you have it? Do you have that anywhere?
I believe I've got a video of it in my email somewhere still.
I'd love to see that. That'd be great to put on Writers Weekly.
Yeah, if you can get that to us, if you go to your author account, if it's a big file, you can upload it to us, and then we can get a screenshot and put it in with this episode on Writers Weekly. Blah, 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 blah. Pause. writersweekly.com/podcast, and people can see how badly they superimposed your book on Times Square. Yeah.
I kept every email, all the invoices for everything that I paid out. I've kept everything.
Great.
Good.
Great.
Good. So Jennifer, you started out by saying you wrote this book just passing time, and before you knew it, you had a book. But as this process went on, it's clear you became more and more emotionally involved in getting your book out there. I want you to tell us a little bit about your feelings during the process, and then when you found out this was all just to yank a bunch of money from you, what that did to you.
Whenever I found out that it was just a scam from this company, I was really disheartened and distraught. Like, I was so emotional. I just didn't want to go on anymore. I didn't want to write anymore. I lost it.
That's actually very common among victims.
I
Yeah.
And I was so ashamed that I let this happen. And I called my mom right away and I said, "Mom, it happened." She goes, "What?" I said, "I was scammed." She goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "My book is a complete sham." I said, "I was scammed. That company was a complete scam." She goes, "No way." I said, "Yeah, it was, Mom." I said, "I just found out." She goes, "You just found out. You got to go to work with all this on your mind." I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "I got to go to work and drive a 400 ton truck with all of this on my mind."
There's so much money.
Yeah.
There's the financial aspect, and then there's the emotional impact later, and it's and it's
It's
just heart
taken me.
disheartening. It's heartbreaking.
It is.
This is why I think it's important that we hear from the actual victims, because
Yeah.
it's so easy. And full disclosure, I'm going to confess, I've done it myself. You hear about some of these scams, you're like, how can anybody be so stupid?
But then we talk to
Until you listen
intelligent
to them.
people like
Yeah,
Jennifer,
Jennifer's not dumb.
and if Jennifer's extremely intelligent,
Yes.
and I mean, I knew that the first day I met her online,
Yeah.
and if she can fall for it, anybody can. And nobody can see your face on our podcast. Jennifer is a young lady.
Yeah.
She's not 80 years old, and these companies typically go after older
Older people,
Americans.
yeah.
But younger Americans can fall victim to it as well. Yeah.
Well, and it's the fact that they know how to play on your emotions. They know how to get you excited about this thing, and once you're on that track, it's really hard to get off.
Yeah, sure.
That's why we're fighting so hard for this, because as easy as it is to say, how could anybody let that happen to them? Well, once you start listening to the stories, you realize just how easy it can be.
Yeah, it could happen to anybody.
Because you want to believe that this is your big break, that this is gonna, something really good's gonna happen to you. And these people, bastards, keep
Yeah.
promising you, well, just another couple thousand dollars and you're
Yep.
there.
Yeah.
Just another 4,000, and we're gonna, man, you just wait.
It's
It's
yep.
gonna bam. You're gonna just be, and it's not all about money.
No.
I mean, it's not all about you making the money on your book. It's out there. People are noticing it. It
Yeah.
feels good to be recognized.
Or for the books that
Exactly.
don't get published, it's the idea of my book is going to be out there. People are going to read my words. I'm going to make a difference in the world and everything. And there's also it's like the old sweepstakes scam. You pay 4,000 and then they're dangling this thing in front of you. So, okay, it's going to happen. It's going to happen this time. I'm going to send another 4,000 and they're still dangling all these things in front of you. And you get so. You're so far in the hole, and you're just praying that everything that they promise is eventually going to happen, and it's hard to get off of that train wreck,
And
Yeah.
now go ahead.
It's really hard to get off that train wreck and that emotional roller coaster that goes with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Before you were contacted by Kit Boga and they let you know that this was absolutely a scam, did you get the feeling that something was off with the Leap Right or Brilliant Books Literary company?
I started getting an off feeling when I started getting contacted by another company about my book. Whenever I started paying to have the interview with Rick Bratton, and then I get contacted that another company wants to have my book published as well. I'm going, well, wait a minute. I'm already published with Brilliant Books. Why does this company want me now? This isn't making sense.
That was probably a completely different scammer,
Yeah.
because if Brilliant Books Literary,
Seem to follow each other.
well, oh sure, they would probably not refer you to get your book republished unless somebody messed up down the scam line. The people all working in their basements and computers. They would simply come up with more and more services to sell to you, or they would refer you, hey, this company offers great, whatever. Bookmarks that I brought up earlier, or they can get you an ad in such and such magazine. That's probably what they would have done. So either the scammer that was scamming you screwed up, and I'm glad they did, Or if that's what happened, or it was a completely different scammer that found you the same way that Brilliant Books Literary and Leapright did.
So you did contact law enforcement. Let me ask you this. Going, you know, so you hear from Kit Boga, they say contact our RCMP. On your way to report this, did you expect that you were going to be able to get this resolved through law enforcement?
I didn't expect that it was going to get resolved. I hoped that they might be able to help or point me, at least point me in the right direction. But at the same time, I didn't think that they'd be able to help with it being in the Philippines or anything.
So you kind of had your expectations. We're pretty low to start with. Okay. And then you mentioned other scammers did start contacting you. You shut them down. Angie, you got any further questions about her experience?
Jennifer, we first met on Facebook, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And so you heard about Writers Weekly, our scam investigations, or how did that go?
I can't remember. There was one of the, we were had met through one of the commenting sections on a post that was being made. And somebody had commented something and you just instantly went scammer. And I went, oh, yes.
And then we started private messaging.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we pulled you into the Book Locker family because you needed a big hug.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And your book went on the market within what, a month?
We're in that phase of,
Okay. All right. And we didn't upsell you on a Times Square or anything.
Nope.
We didn't superimpose your book on a crappy bookshelf
superimpose
in the Philippines. Well, all of our authors are family, but you're very special. You and I hit it off right away. We
did.
Both had a common interest. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, we're happy to get your business, but at the same time, we're also glad we were able to kind of snatch you out of the ether so before you got scammed again. Not that I think you're you know necessarily vulnerable to falling for it again, but there are so many out there.
Oh
well, and I think Jennifer would have been the mindset that she just wouldn't have published a book ever again and would
I
have
was
stopped
about
writing.
To ask that.
Were you?
You know, what was your feeling about publishing companies after this? You know, I mean,
I was
were you
done.
Even, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've heard people flat out say that. Like, I'm not even going to publish again because I can't trust anybody.
This guy wrote me yesterday. He got scanned by three different companies and his wife is furious with him. And he said, I'm just never going to write another word again. He's just completely down and out. Yeah. So we hear that over and over again. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jennifer, have you got any final words for us? Because we're looking a little bit over an hour here, so I think we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up.
Or any final word of advice for authors?
Yeah.
Just please be safe, and if you feel in your gut that it something's off, just go with your gut.
And go to writersweekly.com, click on the Contact Us button at the top, send me the name of the company, the website, address, and I'll tell you if they're a scammer or not. I can spot them within 5 minutes now. Yeah.
Well, and we've got a page up that allows you to do your own homework.
Yeah. 11 steps.
11 steps on how to tell if somebody's a scammer that you're dealing with.
And you probably only need the first one to make that determination.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. Well, Jennifer, we really appreciate you joining us today. And Angie, I appreciate you for joining us.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I came downstairs. It was a big trek for me. Yeah. Now, Jennifer, you have shared such good wisdom for other people, and you're going to save a lot of authors from getting scammed like you were. And again, it was very courageous of you to come on with us, and we really appreciate it. And of course, we're going to be promoting your book under this podcast as well.
You got it.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, y'all. Well, thank you very much for joining us and listening to our podcast. And please check out our our site, writersweekly.com, costs you nothing. And you can also get all of our podcast episodes. This is episode 21
yeah.
now. You can get all our episodes on writersweekly.com/podcast, and you can listen to those podcasts right there on the website, or you can get your podcasts on any of the podcast platforms out there that you get your podcasts on.
And also, if you have a book to publish,
go for it, Angie. Tell them.
Oh, I'm not good at this.
If you got a book published, come on over to booklocker.com. We are not scammers. We got a 25-year track record of being a professional book publishing company. We have thousands of titles. And yeah,
we're not in the Philippines.
We're not in the Philippines. We're going to treat you right. We don't have a call center. And you're going to know each of our team by name, and we're not going to help you get through it. We're going to do it for you.
And we have real American names.
And we,
just brought you guys a new author as well.
Awesome.
Well, you know what that means? You have a finder's fee coming your way. Then.
Yeah, we actually give our authors a $40 referral fee when they refer a friend to Book Locker. Yeah.
That's it. So
cool. Awesome.
All right. So that being said, everybody, we will see you next time on the Writers Weekly podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Jennifer. You can stay on.
Ending recording.